Councilor Azuki, who's in the live stream. Councilor Hanouch. Councilor Kim. Councilor DePinto.
Here.
Councilor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Rizvi.
Yes.
Councilor Bruce in the live stream. And Councilor Belfort. I'm here. We're just 15.
Hmm?
I'm coming back.
Good. It's a very open.
It's not even scandalous.
No, I'm joking.
Figure this out.
I'm trying to stop. Yeah, phones are, like, you need a good phone nowadays. You just don't have your phone. If you have, like, an old phone, it's hard. You're, like, it's a hard life. How? Very sad. I've had mine for years and it's never happened. See? Perfect.
What?
Maybe. Already. Second day of classes. Oh yeah, look at that.
Oh my goodness. Why is that? I just did this last year. Yeah, no, it's not. And like, he was like, you're gonna give me back this
I can't believe he's like writing emails right now. He's not getting paid. It's like right now he's not getting paid to write that email. Yeah. He's just writing it because he wants to.
To our last presentation for the evening. Banagher moves to allow a presentation regarding the reusable dish program. Reusable dish program things to the Council Administration Committee, but Students Council. to discuss how Students' Council can use the RDP program in their bi-monthly meetings. Is there a second for this motion? Governor Flanagan, thank you. Is there any opposition received in this presentation? Seeing none, our presenter today is Roheen McVeigh.
Roheen?
Yeah. Okay. Into roughly 10 subcommittees with our own environmental focus. I'm a part of Sustain X, so our focus is on advocacy and fundraising and kind of creating sustainability themed events like galas. The Reusable Dish Program is very similar. It's also a subcommittee of the Students' Union, and its focus is on creating a zero waste campus in the University of Alberta. This is my first time using it. So I'm sure everyone in this room has heard of the Reusable Dish Program once or twice. But I'm kind of here to iron out any misconceptions that you may have about the program. Because what we found at the RDP, or the Reusable Dish Program, is that some common misconceptions hinder large volumes of people from using this service, which is very accessible and user-friendly. So the Reusable Dish Program is a service offered by SustainSU, which essentially supplies dishes, bowls, cutlery, pitchers, and cups to your faculty staff or to your student group events or meetings. Now, say you're not faculty staff or part of a student group. You can still rent our dishes for a minimal cost of $5 to $10 based on the size of your order. The volunteers at the Reusable Dish Program have quite a reputation for being slightly neurotic. We like to pack our lunches and do meal planning like 7 days ahead of time, because these people don't want to be using takeout boxes. They're trying to get all that waste out of landfills. These people are so dedicated, they take their own valuable free time to load and unload dishwashers. That's something that I don't think I would do. But why do they do this? Why do they care so much? Is they believe in zero waste culture. They really believe in the initiative that is the Reusable Dish Program. And so I'm here speaking on behalf of them today, as well as SustainSU, to really encourage you as Students' Council to use the Reusable Dish Program in your meetings and to spread this knowledge on to your family, to your friends, to your peers who are also representing student organizations as well. So why exactly should we be using the Reusable Dish Program? And I can break this up to you, or for you, in three easy contentions. The first being financial. So based on my calculations, the Students' Council would save $60 to $150 in their fall winter semesters by using the Reusable Dish Program at their meetings. And this is not including the price of coloring. So I know that for the business students here, like $60, okay, that's not a lot. But I feel like it's fair to say, this is my assumption anyways, that you guys spend about $1,500 on catering in the fall winter semesters. So that's about like a tenth of the cost. In explicit costs anyways, and then even more savings in implicit costs. So that's kind of like garbage takeout, cleaning services, and whatnot. And even though you're not saving a lot of money, the point that I'm really trying to drive home with it is that when you choose to go green, you're usually choosing to save money as well. Now, from a social standpoint, one main problem that we see at the Students' Union is a lack of integration between student union organs. So by using the Reusable Dish Program at your meetings, you're choosing to support the Reusable Dish Program as a subcommittee and SustainSU as well. So that's fostering stronger ties and promoting a larger sense of unity and harmonization, one could say. Also, by choosing to use the Reusable Dish Program at your meetings, you're choosing to lead by example. So I'm hoping that you guys will be like the environmental envy of all your student group friends, and they're gonna wanna start using dishes at their meetings too. And the last point is institutional. So I believe, as does the Reusable Dish Program, as does SustainSU, that this Students' Council should try to make their council a zero-waste council. Or carbon neutral is another word that we use, a carbon neutral council. and the University of Alberta should be making a stand to become a zero-waste campus or carbon-neutral campus. So, oftentimes when people are thinking about climate change or how to become a more sustainable individual, they think about people like my cousin, for example, who haven't driven their cars for 10 years or who are not using heating in their homes so that they can reduce emissions by any means possible. But what data has found, and though this data is U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, these numbers can be extrapolated to Canada and the University of Alberta campus as well, is that the provisions of good system, which essentially accounts for the emissions associated with the production, consumption, and disposing of single-use disposable goods, is far greater than the emissions associated with heating, ventilating, air conditioning, and lighting our buildings and homes, and local passenger transport. So that's like LRT train systems, using a car around the town on like buses and whatnot. And that's insane. When I first saw this chart, I was like kind of shook, to be honest. And why is this yellow section of the graph so large? This is because when we're using disposable items, when we're using single-use dishes, like we're using at this meeting, for example, the lifespan of these objects is like no more than 3 hours. This meeting usually lasts 3 hours. Is that fair to say, 3 hours? Mm-hmm. When you're in sub, you're not sitting there for more than 1 hour to eat your lunch before you're throwing things away. When you're using a ketchup packet, that's like 30 seconds. And so we constantly have to go back and keep like getting more and more natural resources. We have to keep harvesting more of these resources and keep putting more and more energy into the production of these resources to replenish our needs. And I guess the good thing is that we have direct control over this yellow section. And we as individuals, we as student groups, have control over the amount of disposable and single-use items that we use. So that's why the Reusable Dish Program is here, so that you guys can make baby steps to becoming more and more less dependent on single-use items, and that you can become closer and closer to becoming a zero-waste council and a zero-waste campus. If you are wondering what the gray space is, that's pretty much other. So that can be power plants, that's all I can think of right now. Anything else that puts stuff into the air. Okay, now how to use the Reusable Dish Program. The good news is, if you know what the SustainSC website is, you've done all the hard work. And I haven't included it here, but I can send it to you if you need. That's not a problem at all. Once you're on the SustainSC website, and you click Reusable Dish Program, you'll find a Google form. There, you'll put your name, the name of your student organization or your faculty organization, and then you will choose pickup and drop-off time. So, say these meetings start at 6, but your volunteer of the day is only free between 2:30 and 3:30, they can specify that, and they can come pick them up early and drop them off here, whatever you guys need to do, that's totally okay. They'll just be waiting for you inside the sub-kitchen, which is 0-51. When you're done with the dishes, you pretty much scrape off the extra foodstuffs into the garbage and put them back in the yellow crate provided, and then you just drop them back at the sub kitchen. It's easy as that. We wash them for you, and we sanitize them for you as well. One common question that kind of comes up when I bring up washing of dishes is this really sanitary? Like, do you guys wash these by hand? Like, I don't know, I've gotten a lot of these questions, which is kind of interesting. I didn't think about it. But these are all sanitized at 180 degrees Celsius, so any kind of prokaryotes or germs or anything that you've been worried about is not there. It's totally clean, not a problem. And one last concern is that the Reusable Dish Program hours are Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and your meetings start past 5, right? However, you guys all have access to the sub-kitchen as counselors and as executives. You should all have the password. If you don't have it, I can give it to you. I'm authorized to do that. And you can drop them off and pick them up late. That's okay. Thank you so much for listening to my presentation. If you have any questions about making yourself or your student group more sustainable, please do not hesitate to ask me. If I cannot answer, I will pass you out to more seasoned experts. But let's not let disposable items leave a bad taste in our mouths.
Dishes thing new? Because I remember the last time I got this presentation a couple years ago, they said that if things went missing or they came back dirty, you'd get charged for them. So we had a couple of instances where I took it upon myself to be down in the kitchen at 10 or later, scrubbing them all and cleaning them.
Right. Yeah, I know we've made a couple of big changes in the 2017 to 2018 year. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in university in that year, so I don't know what changes are made, except for we did add cutlery. So that's probably a change that was made in the last year.
Okay, so just like you said, scrape off the big stuff, throw them in the crate, bring the crate back.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
That's an issue for campus station hall because when we have events and stuff, we can't use the reusable dish program because that means we have to carry like one or two like really pretty heavy crates
right
from sub to the minibus, and then like it's pretty hard to like manage that even, especially if you're only one person or two people with a bunch of like reusable dishes. So do you see that like changing in the future, maybe adding transportation for like campus station hall or for
I think that from like an admissions standpoint, as long as we can kind of acquire the funds, right now reusable dish program is fairly small, it's like 10 kids loading dishwashers, we don't have a lot of money. If we can acquire the funds, then we would probably have our own reusable dish program, but for faculty St. John, or like Augustana campus, that's the goal. Because we don't want to be driving back and forth, and it's obviously a pain for you guys as well. So that's like the end goal. Acquiring enough money to have an industrial washer in that faculty or in that space, and then kind of running it there, if that makes sense. Awesome.
Yeah, I had a question related to, I'm not sure, Levi asked it, I believe, relating to missing utensils. So are they still, like, I know you mentioned that the dirty dishes right thing has been eliminated, but what about the missing utensils, because I know they can add up really fast.
Right, exactly. From what I understand, I know for sure it's $5 per plate if you lose a plate or bowl or pitcher. And I'm going to say it's $5 per utensil as well. I have to double check. But I know we say $5 per dish because that's the cost that we buy them at. So we're not charging anything extra, it's just at cost. But I can definitely email you and get back to you in case that number is different, for sure. Yeah.
So why isn't council using this right now?
I'll answer that.
Yeah.
So we talked about that a little bit briefly in the fall term, and this is something that I've been trying to spearhead for a while, really, but it was my impression until just now that we had to clean all the dishes and stuff ourselves, and it's kind of tough after a 3 or 4 hour
yeah,
meeting,
just stick around, yeah.
And usually it was the person who ordered it that took them back, so it was often me. So when we talked about it, we did want to get this going. I did put in an order for one of the last meetings of the winter, but they're already fully booked up, which was great because it means people are using the service. But now that I know that we're off the hook for having to clean them anymore, as long as everybody's diligent about scraping stuff off, then I'm going to put in an order tonight for the rest of the winter term.
Yes!
That concludes our presentation for this evening. We'll now move into our executive committee reports. Are there any members of the executive who should make a report?
None of us.
We will begin. Begin with Vice President Rivera.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, everyone. So a couple updates in addition to my written report. Some things I've been working on. CSJ cafeteria, they're having some little issues, and we're trying to help. So just getting our catering operation, helping out with providing some cheap and healthy food to our friends at CSJ. Also, we are launching a large social media campaign that will go throughout this semester about Switchboard, which is that Skillshare network that was launched in the summertime. So trying to get more people on there to connect with alumni and the rest of the U Alberta community. That's pretty exciting, so keep your eyes peeled. And finally, most of my time has been consumed with planning out this whole capital the situation, and we have been doing some pretty good work, or I shouldn't say we, I should say one of our staff members has done excellent work. He's done a research project on student spaces around campus. So what he did is he took 12 spaces and developed a criteria upon which he analyzed them and then gave them a letter grade. And hopefully the report will be ready in the next couple weeks and I can share it with you, but it's excellent. So it'll give students a more tangible idea of what the funds would go towards and how they can use it to enhance their academic life. So keep your eyes peeled also for that, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Vice President Rivka. We'll now go to Vice President Brown.
All right, hello everybody. It's really great to be back in council. I apologize for having missed our last couple of meetings. I ended up being in Ottawa both times, but doing very productive things, and it was very worthwhile to be doing what I was doing in Ottawa, and hopefully we're gonna see a lot of stuff coming out of the federal realm in the next few months. A few things to add. Just following up on Andrew's deferred maintenance presentation and the what can we do, I want to remind everybody that we have a provincial election that is coming up in the next few months. You're going to have door knockers from every party, nomination candidates or actual or elected candidates from all parties coming to your doors and asking you for their support. That is a prime time to ask them, what are you going to do about deferred maintenance at the University of Alberta? What are you going to do about mental health funding at the University of Alberta? So take advantage of those opportunities to ask candidates what they're gonna do, because then that'll inform your votes and hopefully that informs your friends' votes as well. So just something to keep in mind. Attached as an information item at the end of the agenda is a fact sheet on the regulations that were released following Bill 19. So those are a lot of the more sort of nitty gritty details. So give those a read. If you have any further questions about that, please, don't hesitate to ask or email or message me. I'm happy to go through some of those questions. Overall, we're quite pleased with how the regulations are going and the amount of input that student associations have in there. End of January, we're going to be running a CASA mental health campaign that's going to be organized with all of our members nationwide. I'll probably be putting out the call for some volunteers to give us a hand with that if anybody is interested, so keep an eye out. And next week, President Larson, our external advocacy advisor, and I will be headed to an advanced education budget consultation, and so we'll have some thoughts to give to them. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. President Brown. We'll now go to Vice President Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and welcome back to our first meeting in the winter semester of council. I hope everyone had a relaxing break and are ready to grind for the next few months. I have a few things to update in addition to my written report. So, as mentioned, the executive committee will be going to our provincial counterparts conference the next couple days, where I'll be presenting about STRIDE and how other programs or how other universities in Alberta perhaps could take on implementing STRIDE. I'll also be talking a little bit about where the U of A stands with open education and what we can do provincially moving forward. This week is also antifreeze, so if you can show up to any of the events, that'd be great. Today we watched a bunch of people eat saltine crackers for 5 minutes straight. It was pretty cool, I guess. So Gov Week is also coming up in January 21st to 25th. As you see, Councillor Bielak and Governor Flamin are wearing their Gov Week Planning Committee sweaters made by some wonderful high school students. So I'm pretty excited to say that the calendar will be published tomorrow, hopefully, and latest Thursday morning. And so I would encourage everyone to share and keep checking back with GovWeek stuff. If you do have any feedback, I will always take it, of course, but there is only so much we can change once we have officially launched. So over the next few weeks, I'm just going to be busy doing a lot of GovWeek stuff. And in terms of governance committees, I have GFC Executive on Monday and the Academic Standards Committee, which GFC Exec will be talking about Reading Week more in depth with the Faculty of Pharmacy. We'll be talking about USRI databases, and we'll be talking a lot about the EDI strategic plan. If you have any other questions, please let me know.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannegar. Vice President Bourgeois.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Following up on what Akanksha was saying about antifreeze, the flags this year for the teams are so sick. They did such a good job, so definitely check it out. Otherwise, something I'm really excited about is in February, the week of Valentine's Day, we're going to be throwing a 1 week full of gender-based violence prevention events, and we're going to have things going on like the Consent Carnival, and then we're going to launch that into a broader campaign targeting things like toxic masculinity and promoting awareness around sexual harassment and stuff on campus. So really excited for that. We have a government grant that we're going to spend. So yeah, stay tuned, and you'll see some like very hype graphics coming down in like 3 weeks. Thank you, Mr. Bourgeois. Is there any other members of the executive wish to make a report? President Larson.
Two items to add to my written report. One is that we're very excited to be pursuing new opportunities with Flair Airlines. You'll see a couple of pretty fun promotions rolling out over the next month. The first one that's already up is Trivia Nights are now going to be giving away for the winner round trips to anywhere that Flair Airlines flies. There will be a number of other larger promotions coming over the next few months, but I'm really looking forward to one that's around when we would all be traveling. That's all I'll say. The next thing to add to my report is, sorry, I'm just going to take one more look. Strategic Planning Committee is still marching along on its work. We came up today with kind of a brief outline schedule, as well as assigned our first draft writers, and we are hoping to have something for council by the end of January, if not closer to mid-February. Our goal right now is to have a draft in front of this body before the election cycle, so our own student union election cycle, just because we lose a lot of hours during that time, and it's generally hard to plan things. Otherwise, please do read my report if you have any questions, and or see me at Mixology on Saturday if you are doing any of the antifreeze stuff.
Thank you, President Larson. That concludes our Executive Committee report. We'll now move into Board and Committee reports, beginning with the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Councillor Sunday.
So, since our last council meeting, ARC, I believe, has met once or twice. We are just finishing up with the mission, vision, and values piece for the recommendations. The descriptions for all of those have been completed, so once we finish with the mission, vision, and values, that will go to SU marketing people, so look forward to seeing the recommendation soon. We're basically at the tail end, so that report will be finished. For the winter term, ARC will be finishing up the recommendations, doing a report on Students' Council and how well Students' Council has engaged Aboriginal students, and a whole bunch of other smaller projects. So stay tuned. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. As the chair for audit is currently vacant, is there a member of the audit committee that could deliver a report on behalf of the audit committee? Councillor Stepp, is that you?
Nope.
One more. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Audit has not met since last meeting.
Thank you very much. Is there a member of the bylaw committee who could deliver a report on behalf of Councillor Kim? Professor Repka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I received a report from Chair of Bylaw via email. So she says, "Hi everyone, I hope you all had a great time over the holidays. Bylaw Committee has not met since our last council meeting. However, many exciting plans are coming up for the committee, including our second draft for Bill 5 regarding French translation, the Dai Board rulings, students at large, and more. Our next meeting will be held on January 15th, 2019, Tuesday at 3 p.m. If you want to see any more amazing accomplishments done by Bylaw Committee in the last term, please refer to the fall term report that was submitted in our last council meeting. Thank you."
Thank you, Vice President Repka. Good Governor Flowen for the Council Administration Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. CAC had a meeting today at 5, but we failed to reach quorum, so that meeting didn't actually occur. We also have two vacancies on the committee that we'll be replenishing today. So we hope you get back into the swing of things with our next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Flynn. We'll go to President Larson for the Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Executive Committee, as mentioned by B.B. Batner, is heading to Calgary at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning for the CAUSE Counterparts Conference. Thank you, B.P. Brown, for picking up the vehicle. A Ram 1500. Here we go.
Six people in a little truck.
Yeah, hooray. Aside from that, the executive committee has made, from my understanding, no large decisions since our last council meeting. However, to note also in our report is that we are going to be doing a half-day retreat this month as well as a full-day retreat in February, mostly to strategically plan the end of our term as well as strategically plan what transition looks like. It's an opinion of a lot of us that is in time. Something to refresh and to get excited about. Otherwise, please check out reports as they come.
Thank you, President Larson. And I'll go to Vice President Ripka for finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting. We are currently setting our winter semester schedule. Our next meeting, we will be going over the first draft of budget principles, so it should be pretty exciting. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ripka. Is there any members of the nominating committee that could deliver a report? Has the nominating committee met?
No.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else anyone would like to say, we'll leave it there. For policy committee, we'll go to Councillor Rates.
So policy, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Policy committee has not met since last council meeting. You are all able to review the policy committee chair report and this meeting's late additions to get a refresh on what we completed last semester. Our next meeting should be next week on Tuesday, the 15th from 5 to 7 p.m. At the next council meeting, we hope to bring forward second readings of the quality instruction, students and governance and experiential learning policies, as well as hopefully first readings of Campus St. Jean policy and an engagement policy. And later on this meeting, we do hope to make a motion to nominate a new member to policy committee to take the place of a recent vacancy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Rates. Governor Flanagan from the Board of Governors.
A lot of what I was gonna have to say, President Larson was able to cover a lot more eloquently than I am. I have nothing to add.
Thank you very much, Governor Flanagan. Is there any other members of boards or committees that wish to make a report? Once, went twice. Seeing none, we'll conclude board committee reports there and move into open forum. Our timer starts now. Any of our guests wish to ask a question? We'll start with Ms. Ferris.
Hi. This is more of a DG question, but it's also to VP academic. Is there any marketing going to happen at GovLeap this week or in the next little bit to advertise the vacancy positions to get students to go for those positions?
Vice President Battinger.
Thank you for your question. There won't be any marketing per se out of GovLeap, but Discover Groups and I did discuss making a I wouldn't call it a marketing campaign, but yes, like a marketing post. Our pathway to get the vacancies filled is actually reaching out to the faculty associations, as I've already done, to sort of help fill the vacancies. So we hopefully will have a new, the first kinesiology, sport and recreation seat filled. Yeah, I know, right? That deserves my whole soul. So we'll have that filled hopefully in the next at the next council meeting. But yes, thank you for your consideration. If anyone knows anyone, please reach out to them.
Thank you, President Vandegar. Ms. Lachette.
Oh, that's me. This question is for President Larson. Regarding one of your campaign promises was about tenancy rights. We were just wondering if you could provide an update on what you've been doing on that portfolio.
President Larson.
Yeah, so I've campaigned on tenancy rights 3 years running. It's something that remains near and dear to my heart.
For sure. We met with VP Bourgeois can help me out here.
Catherine Housing from Ancillary Services.
We met with Catherine Housing from Ancillary Services early in my term as president to kind of go over what it looks like in residence in regards to their tenants' rights. We received a report from them basically breaking down all the sections of the Residential Tenancy Act and where there may be deficiencies or where residents within this year or within their policy needs those requirements. Through those discussions, we found we were about 95% compliant with the Residential Tenancies Act within most of our residences, mostly through new policy since my time in residence and since the time that we've started really pushing these buttons. The next big steps after that was that we kind of came and it's an ongoing conversation, but came to a kind of agreement that that last 5% are things that are often in extreme circumstances. So it's that's talking about things like assaults, talking about things where it's very important that Resident Services has the ability to have a little bit of ability to move people within a residence and to take people out of what would be a space the size of this table if there has been an assault of some kind. We're working all around what would that look like in the future. Now, as far as including students in rights, right now my focus, and hopefully the focus for the remainder of my term, will be finding a way to include students living in residence in a third-party arbitrator process. So right now, if you live in a home or anywhere else, and you have a problem with your landlord, there's a third-party arbitrator that's not a court, we still don't have access to that as students living in residences. So that's kind of the going forward talking point we've been using. And then hopefully, going forward in the future, we can have some sort of regulation. The problem is that legislation is incredibly difficult to craft, and we have yet to find a champion within government or within opposition to bring that forward. So, something I'll probably never give up on, but it is going to be a really long haul.
Thank you, President Larson. Ms. Ferris.
It's just a follow-up to my other question. Since Open Studies doesn't have a faculty association, what is your goal for that?
Thank you for your question. We've reached out to the people at Student Connect, who technically act as the representatives, as the faculty office for Open Studies. So that individual has access to their, I would say, like mailing list, who is going to market this position for us.
Mr. Lachat.
This question goes to Vice President Rivka. So you mentioned Switchboard, which is a service that was started in the summer. The University of Alberta recently started Campus Bridge, which is, from what I can see, very similar. I'm just wondering, is it a duplication of services, or are you guys working together?
Vice President Rivka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. Do you say it's Campus Bridge?
Yes.
To be honest, I haven't heard of that, so I'm not sure what it is. I'll take a look into it. I don't think it would be a duplication of services of a service, because I know that this is in partnership, Switchboard is in partnership with the Alumni Association. So the university is also aware of it, because we've met with some VPs, and so they know that it's a thing. So if they have chosen to go ahead with it, then I think it's a little silly that I can't for them, but thank you for letting me know, and I'll look into it and maybe get back to you about it.
I think there are some counselors who were very eager to jump on that.
Sure.
You, Councillor Hussain, go ahead.
I think Campus Bridge is more career connecting business, so the Ask Career Center is trying to actually create a more career connection where students can actually go apply for jobs. So what our research created is slightly different. That was inside for the Faculty of Arts. Because every company has its own, so you can wait to be Faculty of Business as Career Connect, where the post business student positions. So the Faculty of Arts is trying to try to get what business school has or other faculty institute has. So it's entirely different. That's not a different service. I think that she gave us more of that to kind of connect people overall in general, less of the faculty thing. That's what my understanding.
Yeah, it's like the previous link for CAPS. Like, I don't know if you guys used it for like searching jobs and stuff, but I did for like during the summer. That's what it leads to. Campus, like Campus Bridge is that website now. So I don't know if it's, I don't know who runs it really.
Except for us, for
it's ours?
Yeah,
it's ours. I mean, I applied for such.
Yeah, the post different and the post different positions, because I did one then asked before.
We can clarify.
Yeah.
It's all right. Experiential learning. So they have accumulated all experiential learning into
like
one
everything.
All right, thank you very much. Any further questions for Open Forum?
Okay.
This is actually last question.
This question goes to President Larson. Another big campaign promise for you was continuation on the work of the Charter of Student Rights. Just wondering if we could receive an update on that portfolio.
President Larson.
Thank you so much for the question. Actually, I'm very excited on this. So where we ended up under Marina's term with the culmination of the research and posting it on its own kind of site on UofA, on Students Union's website. The next steps after that was taking that research and all of that data that was collected and writing a white paper, which then would go through the governance system. We have a first draft of that white paper that's in my office right now. It's my responsibility to edit, go through it, and find what I think needs to be improved. Right now, my current feedback has been that we need a very strong call to action to get it done. However, the next step, hopefully, is to have that first draft go to the team of students, have a quick chat with them about how they feel about that process, and then launch it into governance before I leave. And then hopefully, whoever is around following my term will continue the progress that's been made, and we'll see a charter of rights. No, it could be quick, it could be slow. I'm very happy with the research also that's been done and the writing that's been done thus far. We identified a number of key principles and a number of key examples that really showcase it. But I won't give it away until it's released within the next 6 weeks.
Thank you.
So
when are you expecting that to be like done to this paper about 3 years?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. My hope is that's within the month that I have kind of an internal conversation with the team of students, because that's the governance path we would like to take, is with their support. It's a much easier project if we can do it with support with the university unit. That's the idea as of right now. If they're not supportive, it's something we can put through governance on our own time and on the government as well. But I would like to work with as many partners as possible before just throwing it out.
Thank you, President Larson. Any other questions for open forum? Mr. McQueen.
So, question for the VP Student Life, Mr. Bourgeois. I just wanted to ask you on the status of UASU Cares, if there are more resources to be put into it right now, or is this being currently maintained as current operational levels? Thank you.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Cool, yeah, thanks. So, currently, UASU Cares is in a bit of a holding pattern because the university launched that new, they partnered with the province of Alberta to bring the 211 service here. And 211 is essentially like a very amped up version of what UASU Cares offers. They actually offer that support like over phone and on web. So that's kind of where UASU Cares at is now. We talked about it today a little bit actually in the strategic planning committee, and we were like, wow, what do we do with this? Should this be our responsibility, or should it be more of an institutional thing? Because they also have so many services. Right now, I think we're just gonna see what happens with 211. If there is uptake, we're gonna get statistics from government and from people on that, and move from there. Thanks for the question.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. Mr. Funk.
This question is for the Vice President of Operations and Finance. In your verbal report, you mentioned something about campuses on cafeteria. I don't believe that's in your report. Do you mind expanding that a little bit?
Vice President Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, thank you for the question. So essentially, last year, the Aramark was in charge of running the Campus Saint Jean cafeteria, and then they stopped, and then they went to RFP, and then no one would fill it, and so they had a contract with Café BC Flat, and so they started providing food there. However, they were running quite a large deficit, but the university stepped in and subsidized that. But then the university is like, well, this is unsustainable because we are subsidizing a huge deficit repetitively. And so I was approached by AUFSJ, and they said, hey, Students Union, you have a new catering operation. Do you think you could do something to help out our students? Because we would like access to more affordable and healthy options. And so I was like, yeah, let's do something. And so they have been working with our head of business operations to kind of find out a way to get find a solution that will fit their needs and also fit within capacity of our catering operation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ripka. Any further questions for open forum? Mr. Palm, last question.
This question is for the Vice President of Student Life. In his report, he mentioned something about getting an info link in Campus Saint Jean operational. Do you mind expanding on that and like, where that's at right now? Because I heard something about an info link being open at Campus Saint Jean, or maybe that it may have been here today.
My President Bourgeois.
Yeah, sweet. Thanks for the question. So where we're at right now is we have drafted a memorandum standing, which we gave to Campus St. John to discuss things like cost sharing, how the staffing would work. Would they be Students Union staff, or would they be Campus St. John staff? Do they need to speak French? Yes. All of these kinds of things. And that's kind of where it's at right now. We're waiting to hear back from Campus St. John. They're going to either say, hey, we have money to support this, because as you can fund all of it. It would be like the TELUS one, which, for those of you that don't know, TELUS is, the InfoLinkedIn TELUS is primarily funded by the university. So, if all things go according to plan, we're ready to rage, and we can bring an InfoLinkedIn there whenever. And we would love for Campus St. John to be like, yes, we want this. September 2019 is the dream, having it fully staffed, operational, ready to go for students in CSG.
Thank you, President Bourgeois. Any further questions? Once, twice. All right, seeing none, that will conclude open forum. We will move into question period. I'll open four questions, beginning with Councillor Sunday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Chair of the Council Administration Committee. Currently, Students Council brochures are placed at InfoLink locations across the university. Here's an example of the brochure. However, the information contained within the brochure is dated and incorrect. For example, the Social and Environmental Responsibility Committee is included as a standing committee of council, while the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee is completely absent from the brochure. My questions are, where did these brochures come from, and if approved by CAC, why did the committee allow a brochure to go out to students that contain factually inaccurate information? Thank you.
Governor Flynn.
Thank you for the question. I don't have answers to either of those. I will look into that and get back to you.
Thank you, Governor Flynn. Councilor Rizzi.
Really quickly, during council updates, VP Bourgeois was speaking, and I just yelled out to seat the sourdough because that's my antifreeze team name, so sorry about that.
Thank you for the question.
Oh yeah, no question. Sorry.
We will go to Council Molly.
Right, thank you. My question is directed to VP External Realm. So in early October, you called a meeting with the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. And you received a plethora of recommendations and knowledge, and I'm wondering what came up the meeting you had with ARC, because we have not had an update at all. Thank you.
Vice President Brown.
Thank you for the question. Yes, that was a really productive meeting. I forwarded the notes that I had taken onto the CASA home office, as CASA is currently reworking their approach as an organization to how they include Indigenous perspectives. That's sort of the mandate of our Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Director on the board, on our board of directors, which I oversee. After that, life got very busy with Bill 19, CASA Advocacy Week, meeting the Prime Minister and such. So now that I'm back in January and the rest of the term is a little less advocacy heavy, I plan on moving forward with a lot more of that, so stay tuned.
Thank you, President Brown. Councilor Belfort.
My question is for Councillor Sunday. Is there anything you'd like to add to your ARC committee report?
Councillor Sunday.
Thank you for your question. I do. So ARC is now meeting every Wednesday from lunch to 2 p.m. for anyone who wants to come to meetings. As well, traditional knowledge keeper that works with ARC, Cheryl Makokas, as well as Councillor Belfort and myself, are trying to set up a sweat lodge before we officially publish the recommendation. So I will be sending out an email asking council who would be interested in attending. So I just ask that once I send that email out, just provide a response as quickly as possible so that I can get the wheels turning on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Sunday. Councilor Wheeler.
To the Vice President Academic, I was wondering if you could speak about any galas coming up that you might be emceeing that are fine by Oasis and how much fun they're going to be. This short period of time.
Eight questions, my dude. Vice President Banikar.
Thank you for the question. There are a lot of great events happening these past couple weeks with a lot of different faculty associations. I'll touch on a few of them, including the Oasis one. This week is Science Week, so if you're from the Faculty of Science or not, you can access a lot of these different events. They had a pancake breakfast today. They have a Jeopardy happening, a career fair thing happening. You can check out the ICE Facebook page. Next week is the Iconic 77 Gear Week, hosted by the Engineering Student Society. There's a bunch of events happening there. We will be going to the Battle of the Bands at Union Hall on Friday night, the 18th. So you should all come. It'll be great. And on the 19th, as Councillor Bielak was mentioning, is the Oasis Gala. Tickets are only $6, and it's being hosted here in the Students Union Building in Dinwiddie Lounge. I am really, really excited to be emceeing along with Councillor Rates, who is not here. So it'll be a fun time. You also get food with $6, so that is literally cheaper than Subway. It'll be so fun. I'm excited to see you all there. And we're also going to be Business Students Association Gala on the 18th as well. I won't be emceeing, so it will be fun, but always, this is definitely my home faculty, so ready to turn out.
Thank you, Mr. Manigar. Governor Flynn.
Any further questions?
Councilor Agarwal. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for VP Academic. So you're, one of the platforms that you were running on was increasing academic advising. I know a lot of faculties, well, some faculty specifically are worse than others, but what is the purpose of the survey that you mentioned, and how are you going to take that information forward given the next few months of your term?
Vice President Banner.
Thank you for the question, and thank you for reminding me that we only have a few months left. So with the academic advising survey, the whole point was to sort of understand what the landscape of academic advising looks like right now. During the campaign period last year and the year previous, I heard a lot of anecdotes around negative experiences around people with academic advising. I will say, shout out to Campus St. Jean for being the number one faculty to fill out the survey. It's really targeted information, so that's great. But the survey is essentially, like as I said, to create a landscape of what we already sort of have been hearing anecdotally and bring it into data. That way, when taking this to the university for advocacy, we can rely on facts and not anecdotes. So going forward from the survey that we're going to keep open for a couple more weeks just to get more responses, we'll compile a report and hopefully present this to the provost of the university along with a couple of deans at what will be known as the Faculty Leadership Summit. This will likely happen in the next few weeks, which will happen along with the Faculty Association President and Vice President Academics. And after doing that, we're also going to sort of see what the response is from their end. So if they think that they can solve some of these issues right away, whether it be through interdepartmental work or whether it be through restructuring academic advising offices, great. But if not, we're going to sort of come up with some recommendations that we think would best serve student needs. Because right now, overarchingly, we're hearing that academic advisors are hard to access because first-year students don't actually know that they exist, and that students aren't getting the responses that they're wanting from their advisors. So the survey will sort of act as a way for us to gain a better understanding of what the issues are. Going forward, try to create some recommendations and then take it to the highest level possible at the university administration to, I guess, improve academic advising. Yeah, thanks for your question.
Thank you, Mr. President Batnagar. Councillor
Hussain. My question goes to the academic. I'm not sure whether it's your question. First of all, you've done a great job working with the FAs, associations, and but I'm also at some point you ran on, which is equality diversity. While it's clear that your portfolio is more with academics, but also I would like to ask a question, what have you done? Because I say culture associations are one of the biggest things that actually is big on campus, but it's mostly left out because there's no one to support them oftentimes. Which would be, I believe, this is an opinion. This is a great way to pull most of our leaders, which were the group who were for inclusivity and diversity. And most of the leaders that actually run or are associated with diversity are in these kind of associations. And oftentimes they are left out and unsupported, and mostly because of lack of leadership or direction, they fall out. So my question is, what's the role of the SU in terms of supporting these cultural associations to actually address leadership within different spectrums? Or what have you actually done to maybe just have a service? Thank you.
Vice President Banninger.
Thank you for the question. That's a great question, actually. There's so many answers, so I'll try to give it as concise as possible, but if I do miss something, I will follow up with you. So the number one way that the Students' Union connects with faculty associations, as I'm sure you know, is through the Council of Faculty Associations. So that's the Senior Board, which is presidents of all FAs. There's the Member Services Board, which is typically VP Student Lifes or Events. There is the Advocacy Board, which is typically VPXs and VP Academics. And there is the Finance and Administration Board, which is typically VP Finances or Administration. So each of these boards has received really specialized training in A, what their portfolios could look like. So we try to support them right off of the right from the beginning of their terms in terms of talking about what professional development it is that they want from the Students' Union, because at the end of the day, we have access to a lot of these professional development things through our leadership and recognition team. But in terms of going to the EDI question that I think you're trying to get at, with the Student Leader Summit that we hosted a few weeks ago, a while ago, we did host a couple of sessions about how to advocate for people that, how to advocate for groups that you're not part of. So how to advocate for international students if you're not an international student, and having discussions around what that looks like and how you can better empower other people's voices rather than use this language around tokenism and, you know, spearheading people and putting them in front of your advocacy when you're just, I guess, like using their words when that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. Furthermore, we're also really integrating STRIVE, which is a campaign school targeted at women and non-binary people to get involved in student governance, because our Identity Matters research from a few years ago showed that there is an underrepresentation of women and non-binary people at the SU executive level, but actually an overrepresentation of women and women in faculty association levels. And so what that shows to us is that there are different demographics on campus that are getting involved at different levels, and we have to address the systematic issues as to why that's happening. So going forward, we're hoping to launch an Identity Matters 2.0 in the next few years, which will address international student engagement in our governance structures. And also the Office of Discover Governance this year, aligned with the goal of creating a student census on campus, did a census of our demographics of our student representatives. So surveyed around 1,000 people, and we have a breakdown of what those demographics look like. We're working on a report, so I won't spill any of the fine details right now, but going forward, you folks will be able to see who is actually involved in our campus, why those people are getting involved, and how we can better support them to be involved in the future. I think I didn't touch on everything, but it's just a big question, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President Banninger. Councilor Sunday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Vice President of Academic. In their previous speech about demographics, this is just off the top of my head, I was wondering if the Vice President would happen to know if any previous executive has ever been a self-identifying Aboriginal person.
Mr. President Banninger.
I don't know the answer to that, but for the past 5 years, that has not been the case. So, for the past 5 years, nobody has self-identified, is all I know. But I can get back to you with the entire data set.
Thank you, President Banninger. Any further questions for question period? Going once. Going twice. Seeing none, we'll conclude question period there. Moving forward in committee business, beginning with one item. So we have one item from the late additions of the Board of Committee Business. Plan moves to nominate two members of Students' Council as permanent members of the Council Administration Committee. He has attached the current permanent members, Governor Fleming, Councillor Kim, and Councillor Gao. Their meeting schedule is Tuesdays before Council from 5 to 6 p.m. in Council Chambers. Governor Fleming, would you like to introduce us any further?
No, other than I do want to thank former Councillor Ferris for her service. And it's unfortunate we lost her halfway through the year.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Clement. I'll now open the floor to nominations, beginning with Councillor Buckler.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Sunday.
Councillor Sunday, do you accept?
That didn't work. I accept.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. We'll now go to Councillor Bose.
I would like to nominate Councillor Agarwal.
Councillor Agarwal, do you accept?
I accept.
I'd like
to Councilor Sunday.
I would like to nominate Councilor Mulcahy.
Councilor Wiley, do you accept?
No.
Okay, Councilor Wiley. Any further nominations? Those in the live stream, you can nominate via text, like sending the text message on the little chat there. Councilor Sunday.
I would like to nominate Councilor Cutter.
Councilor Cutter, do you accept?
Yes.
Hey, Councilor Cutter. Any further nominations? Going once. Going twice. All right, we'll close nominations there. We'll begin with voting. Because this is supposed to be done in preferential, what we're going to do is kind of a modified version. That we'll do with the first spot. You will vote based on one of those three individuals. Councillor Sunday, Councillor Agarwal, we will get to the speeches. Councillor Sunday, Councillor Agarwal, and Councillor Cutarm. And then once we have the first person, we will then do the voting for the second person. All right, so we'll begin our speeches. We'll do speeches in the order that they were nominated, beginning with Councillor Sunday.
Thank you again, Councillor Belcourt, for your nomination. I have sat on CAC before. In fact, I was the chair of CAC for a while. I have done a lot of work with CAC. I currently work and helping CAC do their committee reports. I offered to do the dishes. I'm really passionate about the administrative work behind Students Council. I'm able to make every meeting, and I really enjoy this committee. This is the first committee that I ever sat on, first committee I ever chaired, so I would really love the opportunity to sit on it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Sunday. Councilor Agarwal.
I would love the opportunity to be on CAC. I've heard a lot about CAC. I've attended some of the meetings, not very many, but I've attended some, and I think the work that they do is really important. I'd love to get more involved and have a say in some of the things that are being done.
Thank you, Councilor Agarwal. Councilor Cutter.
I remember being very passionate about joining CAC when I was running for arts counselor. And I've been going through the manual on my phone right now just to see what it would all entail. And it sounds really interesting. It sounds like it's a steady committee. And since my other committees don't really meet a whole lot, I felt like this is something I could put some of my excess effort into. I would just like to learn more about it.
Thank you, Councilor Cutter. All right, we'll go into voting. For the voting, A plus will be for Councillor Sunday. A zero will be for Councillor Agarwal. And A minus will be for Councillor Cutter. So again, A plus for Councillor Sunday. A zero for Councillor Agarwal. And A minus for Councillor Cutter. Those of you in the live stream, you may just send me the name of the individual you wish to vote for. Voting is now open.
They changed it.
Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Our first spot goes to Councillor Agarwal. All right, now we'll do a plus for Councillor Sunday, a minus for Councillor Cutter. Voting is now open. A plus for Councillor Sunday, a minus for Councillor Cutter. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. The second spot goes to Councillor Cutter. Congratulations to those two councillors. That concludes boarding committee business. We'll return to our main order papers for our general orders. Banagher moves to approve the Faculty Association membership fee proposal from the Law Students Association. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Stapp, thank you very much. Vice President Banagher, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it's been a while since that presentation that we had from the Law Students Association, but as a quick reminder, the FRAP renewal they're looking for is a $50 fee to their students, only given once at the start of their term, or the start of the year in September, and it goes to a very large multitude of services. I will be voting, I can't say that right now, but yes, that is my motion.
Thank you, President Banagher. I will now open the floor to debate on the motion. Mr. President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to speak in support of this motion. I think given the presentation that we received at the last council meeting, they have done a really good job in using their finances responsibly and providing good value to their students. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ripka. I think this is actually our first one of these votes, isn't it? That we've always used ESS before. So to remember for everyone, BAMF is like our tax. We're approving a tax. Vice President Banagher.
I would like to say that I also will be voting in favor of this motion simply because although the price tag may be a large levy, or a large levy, sorry.
With 20 in favor, 1 opposed, 0 abstentions, motion carries. Alright. So that concludes our items on the agenda for today.
I would like to make a motion from the floor.
I would like to open the floor to motions from the floor.
I would like to make one.
Vice President Batner.
I'd like to move to appoint a member of council to the policy committee.
That is in order. It does not require a second because it is something that has to be done. So, would you like to introduce said motion just to say why?
Yep.
Go ahead.
So there's been a recent vacancy in policy committee, so we're just looking to fill that vacancy. Policy committee typically meets on Tuesdays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.-ish. In the drive, you can also see the things that we've done so far, and also in Councillor Race's update. There's a lot of cool policies going forward, but it will be a decent amount of work, seeing as though we gotta only have 4 months to finish out a bunch of these policies.
Thank you, Vice President Battengar. I'll open the floor to nominations. Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Cutter.
Councillor Cutter, do you accept? Any further nominations? Gotta get some more nominations here, people. Vice President Batner.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Councillor Bose, do you accept? Okay. Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Risby.
Councillor Risby, do you accept?
Sorry. Nothing.
Vice President Rivka.
I'll nominate Councillor Hadouche.
Councillor Hadouche, do you accept?
I accept.
Councillor Hadouche. Councillor Mawali. No more nominations. We'll come back to Councillor Cunarm. Okay, so we got another one, Vice President Rivka.
I'll nominate Councillor Hussain.
Councillor Hussain, do you accept?
Thank you.
Councillor Cunarm or Councillor Bose, have you made your decision?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. An acceptance from Councillor Cunarm. Councillor Bose declines. Any further nominations? Going once. Going twice. And that will close nominations. Councillor Cunarm now sits on the policy committee.
I move to nominate one person to the nominating committee.
Member Flamin moves to nominate one member of council to nominating committee. That is in order. Member Flamin, would you like to introduce that motion?
Nominating has a vacancy that needs to be filled.
Thank you, Governor Flamin. I'll open the floor to debate or to nominations and debate. Councillor Sunday.
I would like to nominate Councillor Mulholland.
Councillor Mulholland, do you accept?
I do.
Councillor Mulholland. Yes. Councillor Cunarm.
I would like to nominate Councillor Risby.
Councillor Risby, do you accept?
I'm on it. Right? Yes, go ahead. Sorry. I have to make sure we haven't met in so long.
Some more nominations, please. You look like you have a question.
No. I was just going to like let people know it meets as needed, so it doesn't have a regular meeting date, so it's pretty low commitment.
Yeah. Councillor
Cunarm.
I'd like to nominate Governor Flamin.
Governor Flamin, you accept.
What?
You've been nominated for nominating committee.
You know, as much as I'd like to, I've got a whole lot happening. I don't think I can give time and attention to it, sorry.
That's fair.
Thank you, Governor
Flamin.
Vice President Bettinger.
There's nominate Councillor Adwan.
Councillor Adwan, do you accept? Thank you, Councillor Adwan. Any further nominations for nominating committee? Going once. Going twice. Councillor Adwan now sits on nominating committee. Is there any further items from the floor? Councillor Staff.
I'd like to make a motion to appoint one member of student council to audit committee.
Councillor Staff, motion to appoint one member of student council to audit committee. Would you like to introduce that motion, please?
Sure. We recently had a vacancy in audit committee, so we're looking for one student council to join it. With regards to when we meet, we're currently looking at setting a new schedule for this semester. So if you join tonight, you can be part of the conversation, deciding our time frame going forward. there's going to be, like, not a ton, but a decent amount of work this semester, so it won't be quite as late as nominating committee, so just be aware of that. But it is a lot of fun.
It's quite
thank
fun.
Thank you, Councillor Stack.
Point of parliamentary
yes.
Who's on it?
Excellent question. According to the website, Councilor Bose, Chung, Kobus, Lee, and Steph.
Me too!
Councilor Carr. So I guess the website is out of date.
Very much so.
Vice President Backer.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Hussain.
Yeah, Hussain. Oh. Councilor Hussain. Councilor Hussain. Did you have a nomination or just?
Yeah, I'll also nominate myself.
Yes. Any further nominations? Going once. Going twice. Councilor Hussain now sits on. Any further items from the floor? We have 5-6 minutes left. Seeing none, we'll conclude with attendance. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Matnigar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Present.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Present.
Governor Fleming.
Here.
Council Lynn. Council Kobus. Councillor Anderson. Councillor Rates. Councillor Wale.
Here.
Councillor Hussaini. Councillor Bilak.
Oh, here.
Councillor Carr.
Here.
Councillor Lee. Councillor Hussain.
Yep.
Councillor Staff.
Here.
Councillor Ansari is in the live stream. Councillor Yao.
Here.
Councillor Rosalind.
Yeah.
Councillor Bose.
Yes.
Councillor Adwan.
Here.
Councillor Chung is in the live stream. Councillor Ahmad is also in the live stream. Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Councillor Nguyen. Councillor Azuki is in the live stream. Councillor Hadouche. Councillor Hadouche.